Good morning, everyone. Welcome into The Beacon on this February 3rd and what promises to be a cold, cold, snowy week. Good morning again, everybody. I'm Brian Hawkins, and today we have, actually, it's just the guys today. It's just me and Brett. And good morning, Brett. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing fine, and I guess that's suitable because this weekend is Super Bowl weekend. And what else could be on anyone's mind other than football?
Well, I know I'm looking forward to it, and I'm also going to be out and about doing some skiing on Saturday for the first time.
Ooh.
So hopefully I'll come back in one piece next week, and we'll have all my limbs attached. But yes, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl. How are you feeling exactly about, like, do you want to see this dynasty continue with Brady and Belichick, or are you rooting for the underdog?
I don't care either way, really. I just like to see a good game. I don't know. I'll just have to wait and see how it turns out. I might get emotional a little bit if the Patriots win, but then if the Philadelphia Eagles win, that might be exciting.
I always like Super Bowl Sunday, but I always feel like the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday should also be a holiday. Like, we should have the Super Bowl Monday off or something like that, because you kind of have the people, Super Bowl parties, you have the Super Bowl hangover.
Right.
So if it was me, if I was President Trump, that's what I would be asking for, is Super Bowl Monday. Maybe that could be a contribution that Mr. Trump can look into maybe next year or something like that.
I think you're right, because after the Super Bowl, I'm always left with the feeling that, oh, no more football, that's it. And it's all kind of a sad occasion. So we'll have to look into that. Maybe we can get a petition started.
Well, maybe here at the Lighthouse.
Are there that many football fans? What about yourself? Who do you like?
For the game, at first, when I was thinking about it, I was like, man, it'd be cool to see the Eagles win, beat the Patriots. But as I, like, thought about it, I kind of, we're seeing something happen that we probably won't see it for a very, very long time, if ever again, with having, you know, a Brady Belichick. They've pretty much have had control of that AFC East for almost 20 years now, and have been, it seems like every year they're in the AFC Championship game. So it's just impressive what they're able to do. So I'm kind of on both sides. If it was like the Patriots won, I'd be happy, just because it's like something new that we'd see that we haven't really been able to see at least in my time of being alive. I was able to watch what Michael Jordan did in basketball. So being able to see this in football, that this is history being made. And so it's always cool to be a part of that, at least from witnessing that, because then you can tell your grandkids or kids or niece and nephews about the good old days. I watched Jordan in his greatness and Brady in his greatness. And so, you know, I always look back at, like, being able to say that I lived through some of the best football ever played, basketball, baseball, whatever. I can be able to say that I was able to watch that. I always kind of like to have that to brag about, I think, just in our quiver later on in life.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, I guess we should mention that Lainey Kleeman, who's usually here, she's off somewhere on assignment, taking the day off, actually. And unfortunately, Sandy is a little bit under the weather.
Yep. So we are holding it down. We'll have, like we said, it's an all-male show. So a little bit later, I'm assuming we're going to have some Luke's Laboratory. He's cooking up something normally. So it should be interesting to see what he has to offer. And so, we got a jam-packed show. I'm looking forward to talking. I have some things that I can recommend for its highly recommended segment without Sandy, but I was out and about to a few theater performances.
Right. Oh, and to get back to the Super Bowl, there was a little controversy earlier in the week. Tom Brady was seen, I guess he shot some kind of video, and there was controversy about his son coming in and kissing him on the mouth while he's getting a massage.
Mm-hmm.
And his son's 11 years old. Did you hear about that? Do you have an opinion about that?
I did not. No, I heard something about, I think they have a daughter, and she was running around for an interview, and one of the ESPN analysts said something that about his kid, and he just kind of like refused to be on that show for a little while until he kind of figured out what he wanted to do.
Right.
That was something I heard earlier in the week, but I didn't hear about the son and the kissing incident, I guess.
Yeah, and it was kind of a thing where they went out, obviously, and polled people. What do you think? Do you think that this is appropriate or inappropriate? And, of course, you get answers from all over the spectrum. Some people thought it was. Some people thought it wasn't. So, I don't know. I just thought maybe you had seen that.
I haven't seen it, but, like, me and myself, like, I'm 33, and I still go up to my parents, and I'll give them a hug. Like, my dad, I pat him on the back and say, good dad, that type of thing, and he just says, good son. So it's, like, those type of things, I don't see anything wrong with it. Like, we should be able to show love to our family members. Like, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's a son kissing his dad. You know, I can't say that there's anything wrong with that. Like, it's just, there's families that really show affection that way. And so if that's the way that the Bradys are, then by all means, like, that's the way he's going to raise his kids. He's the parent. He can, you know, if he's forcing him to, then there's something wrong. But if this is voluntarily that his son loves his dad so much to go and give him a kiss,
yeah, it kind of looks like the thing where they've been doing since the kid was born.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a little controversy there with their Super Bowl. Nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
And something else that isn't exactly new but a whole lot of fun is the Raising the Stakes for Vision Poker and Casino Night. So all of you folks who like to gamble, you can do that and actually do it for a great cause. Are you a gambler?
I would play some, like, computer Texas Hold'em, that type of thing. Like, on Facebook, they had, like, the Zynga Poker, and so I'd play with my family or something like that from time to time. But I've never put any money in the ring, real dollars. I've never really done that. Never really had that much to feel like I could say, oh, I can deal without this extra $100 if I lose it. I've never really felt comfortable doing that. Maybe if I was making hundreds of thousands of dollars and I had that disposable income, I might consider, you know, going to the blackjack table or playing some poker. But yeah, me myself, I'm not the biggest gambler, but I have played Texas Hold'em before, blackjack, so I know how the games are played, so I probably could. I just choose not to because don't have the disposable income to do so.
Well, you might want to revisit that and do it this time because Chicago Lighthouse presents Poker and Casino Night. And now this is going to mm-hmm. take place. And we're giving everybody plenty of notice so you can save up your dollars,
okay,
your disposable income, so you do have money to play with. And it takes place Thursday, March 1st at 5:30 p.m. That's when the doors open. And the cards fly at 7 p.m., and it'll be at Gibson Steakhouse, Hugo's Frog Bar at 1024 North Rush Street in Chicago. And it will feature charitable casino games like Texas Hold'em Poker.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tournament there. And the thing about that is the grand prize, if you win, is a $10,000 seat at the World Series of Poker main event.
Huh? Very cool.
Now, the person who won last year was a beginner. So there's no need to be intimidated. And also, at about 6:15, right before the cards start to fly, they will have basic information about playing Texas Hold'em. So,
well, that's really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets more people involved. And so I guess you could say it was, last year it was the luck of the draw, since he was a beginner. He or she was a beginner. That's really cool. I didn't know that they do, like, a tutorial of how to play Texas Hold'em. It is, I guess for most people it would be a little confusing if they've never come to it before, but I think once you play a few hands, you can get it pretty quickly.
Right. And also, besides the poker, there are premium cocktails, Gibson's signature dinner and dessert and over $20,000 in prizes. Now, the proceeds will support the world-class programs and services of the Chicago Lighthouse North and Glenview for people of all ages in the north and northwest suburbs who are blind, visually impaired, disabled, and veterans. And early bird tickets end on February 19th, so get them while you can. For casino guests, it's $150. For poker players, $200. And all prices will increase by $50 at the door. Now, here's something that's really neat. All tables will play with large print playing cards. And please indicate on your ticket purchase if you need to use Braille cards, and they will provide them for you.
Very nice. Maybe now, I will give my my hand a try at some poker, and maybe I'll end up going to the having that seat and playing against other
series.
People. I wonder
yeah.
how that would go if being one of the first blind people, I would imagine going to the World Series of Poker.
And you can win tons of money there. I think over $1 million probably.
Yep.
Now, the person to contact is Lindsay Inglis at area code 312-447-3448. Or you can email her at Lindsay, and Lainey always wants me to spell this because she says there's so many ways to spell Lindsay. Lindsay dot Inglis, Inglis, at chicagolighthouse.org. And you can do that, or you can go to the Chicago Lighthouse website, which is chicagolighthouse.org/event/casino, and all the information's right there. And you can even purchase tickets through that portal. So there you have it. Everything for the upcoming Raising the Stakes for Vision, Poker and Casino Night. And you'll be hearing a lot about that over the next couple of weeks. So get yourself ready. You might want to bone up on your basic blackjack moves and practice your poker moves and all those kinds of things. And who knows, right?
Yep.
All right.
Sounds like a good time.
All right. Well, it's... Brett and Brian, Brian and Brett, B-R-B-R, and then it changes. And we're going to take a break now, and we'll come back. You're listening to The Beacon on WCPT, 820 AM.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
1.4 million people in Illinois really want to work but can't. If they get jobs, they could lose their Medicaid health coverage, and private insurance is difficult to obtain. This is the reality for people with disabilities. The Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities program can help. HBWD is a state program that provides health insurance for working individuals with disabilities. Call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com. Don't let your disability keep you from working.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His parents could only hope that one day he would leave the hospital healthy, and they would all live happily ever after. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. You can help the March of Dimes stop premature birth and bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to The Beacon here on WCPT. I'm Brian Hawkins with...
Brett Chishkoff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, if I'm here.
Yeah, are you awake
there? I was dozing off. You know, it's early in the morning, so taking a little bit of early nap. but I'm still here.
That's good, because we have an opportunity. I know you last week went to see Joseph Technicolor Dreamcoat. Is that right?
That is correct. I went out to Oak Brook Terrace to Drury Lane, and they had a modern take on Joseph in a Technicolor Dreamcoat.
I wonder what that's like. We'll love to hear it. So do tell.
I have a few plays to talk about. We did talk about Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, so I will just start with that one, since that was actually the first one I saw last week. And so I kind of hinted towards it being a modern version. And what that basically states is this is actually taking place in Vegas. So Joseph, the lead character in the show, he is in a hotel room, and you see out the window the skyline of Vegas. And so it's a bit of a risque, more sexual in nature type show. So if it's not a kid-friendly Joseph in a Technicolor Dreamcoat like some other ones you might have seen in the past. So I would say that if you're planning on bringing your kids, you might want to... probably 13 and older, I would say, is your best bet. But, you know, there isn't any vulgar language, but there is a little bit of the sexual content in there that you do want to make sure that you're not exposing your little ones to that. I think the highlight for this show was the narrator. Her name is Christina Bianco. And they actually played around with the narrator a little bit. She was able to play and sing like multiple artists that perform regularly in Vegas. So you had Britney Spears. So she would sing just like Britney Spears' style and sounded very, very close to her voice. You also had Cher. There was Shania Twain. You had Bette Midler. Celine Dion, and then there was a couple others. And then at the end of the show, she decides to kind of show all of the different voices that she can sing like. So you have like the Shakiras, you have some Alanis Morissette. And so the play was good, but Christina Bianco is the one that you can't help but feel like she stole the show. She's the one who you could tell the director saw this and decided to highlight her talent. At the end of the show, after everybody bows, the cast and crew, she comes on and sings a little bit more. And so they do kind of highlight her talent and the skill that she has as a singer. But this was just a fun show. I definitely highly recommend this specific showing. It's out in Drury Lane in Oakbrook Terrace. It's actually going through, I believe, the end of February. So you got about a month or so to get out there and see it. You can get audio description by calling the box office. They will kind of get you connected with, I think it's their stage manager, and they will set up an audio describer for you. You just need to give them probably about, I'd say, 2 to 3 weeks, and you'd be able to go with your family and friends if you'd like. You just let them know what date you're planning on going and purchase the tickets, and they'll set up an audio describer for you. But a very, very fun show. If you're looking to have a smile on your face all the way through, I definitely think that De Drury Lane has a winner with Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I actually, a couple days later, after seeing Joseph, I went to a children's show, so something that is kid-friendly. I went out to Lifeline Theater up on the north side, pretty close to Evanston, so the tippy-top north of the city, and I went to see Montaciel, and it is based on the story of the first hot air balloon and how it was created, the paper company that actually came up with the idea, and they actually... to show that they could use it for some type of purpose. The king of the time in France asked for a demonstration, and so they put Montaciel, which was a sheep, lamb, and then they put a rooster and a duck in this basket with the hot air balloon, and then had them come back down. And so it was very cute. Had a touch tour attached to it. The touch tours that they do up there, Erica Foster, she is head of the accessibility up at Lifeline, and then Emily was the audio describer. She did a great job describing the set and then getting into some of the props that they were going to be using. You get to walk the set, put your hands on the different devices that they used to develop the hot air balloon. The cast was super fun. I think there was only six or seven of them, if I remember correctly. But it's just a great show. If you're an adult, you get to have something that maybe you don't know the story of how hot air balloons were started. And then for the kids, there's a lot of cuteness there and fun. It's a musical, so there are some songs in there that you can sing along with, and a little bit of crowd participation is needed at the end. There's a little dance that they kind of taught us for you to be able to kind of be involved in the last part of the show. But this one is a fun one for the kids. So if you have your own kids and you want to take them out, check it out. Lifeline Theater up north, Monticiel. If you are a grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle, take those nieces, nephews, grandkids to check this out. It's a great theater. It's not a big theater. You're not going to be trampled by too many people. It's just a very laid-back, fun place to go see a performance. Last but not least, I was able to check out The Humans at the Cadillac Palace Theater, a Broadway in Chicago show. I was there just a couple days ago, and this show I'm a little mixed on. The acting was good. The story itself is one of those where you're watching a dinner happen. It's a Thanksgiving dinner. This family is coming together. The main character, Bridget, she is she's moved into this new apartment in Chinatown in New York City, and her parents come to visit, and her sister and grandma. And so you're kind of sitting there and you're a little uncomfortable because you feel like there's some shallow conversation happening between each one of them, that they're hiding something from each other. And then as the show continues, each one of them start dropping these bombs on, you know, things that they're going through, things that they've already gone through, how they're handling those situations. The grandmother Momo has dementia, and the mother, she is helping take care of it with the husband. And so there's that struggle of seeing a family member kind of being slowly just deteriorating in front of their eyes, and how that kind of can take a toll on a family. You also have the parents who are a little concerned that their daughter is moving in too early with someone and not being married beforehand. So a lot of the concerns that probably most parents have for their kids when they're in a relationship, a serious relationship, and they're moving in before maybe the parents feel they're ready. So there's some pretty deep, tough things that this show covers. It's very real. These conversations that they're having, you really do feel like this is you're walking in on a family gathered for Thanksgiving, and they're just having a hard time. There's lots of things going on in each one of their lives. They've all been separated for the most part for quite a few months, and now they're coming together for a holiday. And how do you keep a brave face on in front of your family even though you're struggling through things? So it's a good play. It does make you feel uncomfortable, that you just know something is going to happen that makes you just a little concerned on the well-being for the cast that they put together. Set was great. It's a dual level, so you know, Broadway and Chicago shows, they put in a lot of money, and you can tell that they put in a great creativity in building this two story kind of apartment in New York. I would say for me, it does have some comedy in there, so you will laugh, but you also have some heart-wrenching parts where it tugs at your heartstrings. So just be prepared that you might have some tears in your eyes, might feel a little uncomfortable, but you also laugh. So it does give you a rush of emotions. But yeah, it's at the Cadillac Palace. I think it's through, I want to say it's the middle of the month, 17th or 16th, if I remember correctly, at Cadillac Palace Theater. So if you get a chance, go out and check it out. It is an interesting show, for sure. I believe that is all I have for you today for It's Highly Recommended, but me and Sandy will be back next week for, with some other great content to hopefully, give you some ideas of what's out there for you to check out. My name is Brett Shishkoff. You are listening to WCPT 820 AM, and we will be right back.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in business information technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also. Going to a job interview and people look at you strange because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. The Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Welcome to Healthy Minutes Exercise Tips. Need to get active but don't know where to begin? Here are some exercise tips for people who are blind or with low vision that will point you in the right direction. Start with talking to your doctor about activities that are safe for you to do. Try walking on a treadmill for at least 15 minutes. Place a white hand towel on the center of the railing in front of you as you jog or walk. You can use this towel to keep yourself centered on the belt. With a spotter or walking cane to guide you, take part in weightlifting activities. Remember to use lighter weights and focus on increasing how many you do over time. Lifting with your arms straight, elbows bent, or with bringing them above your head are great ways to tone. Chair exercises like making circles with your ankles, shoulder raises, and touching each knee to your chest can be helpful too and promote stability and balance. While laying on the floor, try to do sit-ups, push-ups, or leg lifts to strengthen your stomach, arms, and legs. Build up to doing 10 at a time. Pause and do 3 sets of these. Another way to get fit is stair climbing. While holding onto the railing, try to increase the number of times you can go both up and down the staircase. This builds stamina and endurance over time. Exercise is challenging for most of us, but with these tips, it can be doable and even fun. For more information, go to www.acefitness.org. This has been a Healthy Minute. Become your own beacon of health.
Well, we are back, and we're still here. I'm still here. Brian, are you still here?
Yes.
All right, good. This is normally the part of the show where we have Lainey doing the off factor, so I think we have a great one today. Let's get right into it.
This happened on one of the L trains here in Chicago just last Friday, I believe. Jessica Bell, who is an attorney and advocate in Chicago here, was riding the L home late last Friday evening when she witnessed a spontaneous act of kindness that brought tears to her eyes. A homeless man, who later had said he was from Louisiana, pulled his swollen feet from a flimsy pair of running shoes that were obviously not intended for Chicago winter. And, you know, last week it was absolutely frigid outside. So very ill-equipped and certainly not keeping him warm. The shoes, the backs on the shoes were folded down like slippers because his shoes were not big enough for his feet. He had plenty of socks on, but she wrote on Facebook that, you know, despite the several layers of socks he had on, there was still blood seeping through the socks. So he was in rough shape. He was in very, very rough shape. This is when she witnessed 38-year-old Maurice Anderson, who was traveling back to his hometown to visit his daughter. Maurice Anderson as well witnessed this homeless man and his, you know, the problems he was having with his shoes. And he suddenly had the idea to give his own boots that were on his feet to this homeless man. But he kind of had a little conversation with himself because he just bought the boots a couple weeks ago, paid $260 for the boots. So they were really nice, comfy winter boots, but he said within seconds he was unlacing them, asking the homeless man what size shoe he wore. The homeless man said he was a size 12 and Maurice was a 12 and a half, so perfect size to fit this homeless gentleman with his several layers of socks on. So the woman, Jessica Bell, says, you know, quietly, in a blink and you'll miss it fashion, the younger man takes off the boots he's wearing and passes them to the older gentleman. He also opens his suitcase and gives the gentleman clean pairs of socks as well, because he was traveling to visit his daughter, so he had a suitcase full of clothes with him. Maurice then pulled out a spare pair of shoes from his suitcase and put those on himself. And Jessica said, you know, they were nice, but they weren't nearly as nice as the boots. So Maurice could very easily have given the homeless man the not-so-nice pair of shoes that, mm-hmm. you know, were still better than what he had. But he didn't. He gave him his brand-new boots that he paid nearly $300 for. The gentleman believed his feet probably already had frostbite, you know, and so was just trying to do what he could to help the situation. And she says, the reason I posted about Maurice is because we've all given or we've seen people give food or money to the homeless, but she's never seen somebody literally give the clothes off their back to this gentleman. So I think that it's very important to remember to be kind to people, especially in this cold weather. You know, there's a lot of people out there who really are not as fortunate as we are and can use any little bit of help that you can offer. It doesn't need to be a $300 pair of boots, but you know, I tend to feel like if there's somebody, and I don't carry cash with me, so I don't give money to homeless, but I certainly, you know, I've seen homeless on trains and I'll give them, you know, water bottles or whatnot. Like it, what I have that can be offered, mm-hmm. I do try and provide that. And I just think, you know, we just, again, the moral of this segment is just be kind to one another, because there's always somebody who can use that kindness. And thankfully for our friend Maurice, he happened to be in a place where he could help this gentleman in need. And I got to imagine that those boots really came in handy.
Yeah.
Or wow. Footy. But I'm
boom, boom. Yeah, rim shot.
So that is this week's The Awe Factor.
Ah, that's a nice story.
Thank you.
I can't believe that he would actually take the clothes. I've never seen that either. Someone offer up the clothes off their back or the shoes off their feet for someone else. But the guy was in totally bad shape.
Right.
And so now he had some boots, and hopefully he's able to make use of those. And I hope he didn't have frostbite.
I hope not either. And hopefully he'll get the help that he needs. And this story has gone a bit viral. So hopefully there are people out there who could reach out to, you know, to these gentlemen. And Maurice, the gentleman who gave the boots, was actually traveling to and from because he had to leave his hometown to find work. So he, you know, so there was something in the story, and it was a bit unclear, but you know, this is a gentleman who clearly has a wonderful heart and probably a love, you know, a great work ethic, and so hopefully through this story, people can reach out to these gentlemen and give them some help.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
This is Coach Mike Ditka. I'm asking you to support my friends at the Chicago Lighthouse, who are providing critical educational services to children who are blind, visually impaired, or multi-disabled. Through its innovative preschool, Birth to Three, and other cutting-edge programs, the Lighthouse is making a big difference in the lives of these children.
This is Dr. Janet Slick, President and CEO of the Chicago Lighthouse. These are exciting times here at the Chicago Lighthouse. The Chicago Lighthouse provides a community of comprehensive care for people who are blind, visually impaired, disabled, and veterans. To find out how you can help, call 312-997-3675 or visit us at chicagolighthouse.org.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to The Beacon. And Brett, you know, you had some very strong feelings about what's going on with the ADA laws. Mm-hmm. It seems like they want to change them and water them down. And I didn't quite hear exactly what you were saying, but I was interested. I was wondering, can you detail exactly what's going on with the ADA laws?
Right now, it went through, there's a Senate committee that basically voted on weakening the ADA. And basically what is happening is there's a lot of businesses that are feeling like people with disabilities are just making lawsuits for them, and there isn't really any benefit to their business. And so now we do have both Democrats and Republicans who voted on this in a committee first to have it go to the next step. And so it ends up being now put in the hands of them making it into a law, and what are the restrictions that are going to be there. So you do, if you are a person with a disability, you probably want to contact your legislators, House of Representatives, senators, you know, our federal, on the federal level. It's not a state specific law as of right now. So for me, it's kind of frustrating because I could go into a place with Poet, my guide dog, and a place could decide, oh, we don't want to accommodate you because it affects my business in some capacity. That's all they have to say. And I could come back. I have to educate them, telling them, well, no, according to the ADA, I am able to come in. You have to accommodate me. But if they still decide that it has affected their business in a negative way, I could be refused service at a specific place. Or one of the other examples is, say there's a business on a second floor, and the only way to get up to this business is on stairs. If someone with a wheelchair wants to get up there, this specific business would have to try and figure out a feasible way of allowing people with wheelchairs to get to their business at the way that the ADA is now. With the way that this new program that they're trying to kind of weaken the ADA with, it would make it where that business can look at it, do the research, and if they say, no, I don't really feel like it's necessary for me to do that for my business, they don't have to. So it really is just kind of taking away any of the power that the ADA really does have. It actually makes it where there is no legal recourse towards those people to make those changes. And that's what's making these people have to abide by the ADA, is that there is some legal ramification financially, and also they could get closed down if they continue to refuse service to people with disabilities. So it is something that I think we realistically, people with disabilities, we have to get our voices together. We have to be working together to be able to get out there. Calling, like I said, the legislators, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, maybe it's raising money, donating to advocacy groups that are out there. There's plenty that are out there for the blind or just people with disabilities. There's like there's a ADAPT. You have American Council for the Blind, National Federation for the Blind. That's basically the shortest way I can explain it. That's what's going on with the ADA.
Is there a bill that's already been proposed? And if so, do you know when a vote might take place?
They haven't stated when there's going to be a vote, but I want to say that the name, like they have a coding for it. It's HR 820 is the name of this kind of bill or law that they're thinking about kind of pushing into the Senate and House to have them vote on it. So sometime this year, I'd imagine, but they have a lot of other things that are priorities for them. You know, they have the budget coming up still that they have to try and figure out. So I'd imagine in the next few months, we probably will start seeing more and more information about this.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't wait until then to get involved. You should get involved right away.
Yep.
Well, two other guys, the other portion of our show today, they're very involved, particularly in technology.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Juan Suarez and Luke Scriven. They are deep inside the laboratory cooking up something.
Good Saturday morning. I am Juan Suarez, and I always have the pleasure of holding the keys to Luke's laboratory. And this morning, let's open up that laboratory. And what's happening, Mr. Luke?
Well, it's cold again. So that's not good. And I missed my chance to go to Florida to the ATIA conference, which made me a little bit sad. It's a big conference which is held in Florida, and they have all sorts of different assistive technologies there. So I would have liked to attend both for the weather and to see some of my colleagues and all the new technology, but sadly I was not able to. So I am stuck in the Chicago cold, but I have been following things. And people have been sending me photos of things that they've seen. And definitely we'll be talking about some of that stuff in the coming weeks. But for today, we're going to go back to looking at seeing AI. And you probably remember that we looked at this a couple of weeks ago.
Sure, I'll see it AI part two.
Yeah, so this is part two. Last time we looked at some of the great features, including some of the features it has in terms of being able to read printed text, and I believe I also took a photograph of your face, and it told us a little something about your expression and your possible age.
Right.
So yeah, that was some of the features, but we didn't investigate all of the features, and so we're going to conclude that. And to help us out this week, we have a special guest by the name of Tori Howell, and she is actually going to be demonstrating the rest of the features to us.
So we have the pleasure of having two tech gurus in today, and good morning, Tori Harrell.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the Beacon.
So we're going to look at two more functions on the Seeing AI app. We're going to look at currency and then product. So the first one we'll look at is currency, and it identifies your bills or your money. And it's really nice because you don't have to take a picture of it. You can just click on the currency function on the bottom of the screen and then just hold up the bill in front of your phone. So we'll try it now.
I would like to say I've also tried this with Great British Pound notes,
mm-hmm.
and it works well for that as well. And I think it probably also does pesos as well.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
Yep, so it will work with a few different currencies.
Yeah, okay, so here we go.
Currency preview. $1.
Hey!
Yeah, so it works pretty fast.
Just to explain again in terms of, because obviously we're on radio here, all Tori had to do there was pick up her phone, with the Seeing AI app turned on, and she selected the currency option, and then she just held the bill up in front of her phone's camera, and without even having to press anything, it identified the denomination.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yes.
With how flat or how non-wrinkled does that bill have to be in order for it to read it?
Well, let's see. Right now, mine is a little crumpled, but not too bad. But I'll try to crumple it up a little bit more.
I'm just wondering for accuracy and how well it would reads it if it's not.
Right. Yeah, if it's kind of folded kind of up worn in your pocket or something like that. Let's see. I don't know.
$1.
Well, that time I folded it in half, and not even the whole bill was showing.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good. And like Luke said, it has U.S. dollars, euros, Canadian dollars, and British pounds.
Okay, but it doesn't have pesos.
It doesn't have pesos. So,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one we'll look at is product, and this one is going to read the barcodes of any item that you have, so whether it's like food or a shampoo bottle or anything like that, and you also don't have to take a picture of it. You can just hold the item up in front of the phone, and it'll beep until it finds the barcode, and then it will automatically take a picture. So I'm going to select the product function on the phone and hold up my item.
Product. Processing. Campbell Soup French Onion.
Yeah, so there. Yeah, you heard it say Campbell Soup French Onion Soup. So.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. So again, just so people know, Luke, this app is 100% free, correct?
100% zero cost, yes.
And where can they find it?
Well, you have to, first of all, own an iPad or an iPhone. And it is actually designed for iPhone and not iPad. However, we have found that it tends to work with both. I will say, though, you may encounter issues with your iPad. I was visiting with a senior center a couple of weeks ago, and somebody had downloaded it onto their iPad Air, I think it was. And for some reason, every time you try to get it to read a document to you, it would tell you it wasn't able to because the phone was muted, even though it was on an iPad, not on a phone. And the iPad was not muted. I checked on that, and there was no problems with sound output. So I think it must have been a software glitch in terms of the app is designed for the phone, and it was put on the tablet. So you may run into technical issues. However, as it's free to download, it's definitely at least worth a try. And yeah, so if you've got an iPad or an iPhone, go to the App Store and type in Seeing AI, and you will find it, and you can then download it. Now, if you go on the iPad to download Seeing AI, bear in mind that you will have to search under iPhone apps in the App Store, because, like I say, it is designed for iPhone.
All right. Okay, and once again, this is the Beacon, 820 AM WCPT. With that, it's time for this week's
Customer of the Week. And this week's Customer of the Week is a gentleman by the name of James Bowman. And he actually came to us along with some people who work at the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab here in Chicago, and he had some mobility issues, and he also had some visual issues as well, and he came to see what types of things were available to help him, and we had a really nice conversation about various different things. The type of vision loss which he was experiencing was greatly helped by the use of contrast, and reading was one of his goals. So we had a look at some magnification devices which have contrast-enhancing abilities. And so for him, it wasn't so much the magnification side of things. It was more the contrast enhancement that helped him. And we found some really useful things, and we had a long discussion about iPhone and Android apps as well, which can be helpful, including, of course, Seeing AI, which we have been talking about today. And yeah, we all had a really good time, and I enjoyed working with him and the people from the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab. And yeah, just a very positive experience.
Great. All right. And tell us more how people can get a hold of you and the services that you offer through the store.
All right. So telephone 312-997-3649. Email Luke, L-U-K-E dot Scriven, S-C-R-I-V-E-N at chicagolighthouse.org. And you can visit our online store, lighthousetoolsforliving.com. And one of the services which I am trying to push during these winter months is our in-home assistive technology demonstration service. So we will come to your home with technologies and demonstrate them to you. And, you know, if there's something that helps you, then, you know, you can buy it right there and then. We will talk to you on the phone beforehand so that we can ascertain what types of technologies might best fit your needs. And the service is free. So don't hesitate in giving us a call on the number that I just gave you or the email address, and we would love to schedule with you to do that. If you would prefer to come into our store, we are open 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, 1850 West Roosevelt Road, or 222 Waukegan Road, and you can pop into the store and take a look at the different things we have available.
Now, with the store in Glenview, they have to make appointments, correct?
Well, you can just drop into either of our locations, so both our downtown location and our Glenview location. However, if you would like myself or one of my technology staff to sit down with you and go into depth with the technology, it is worth calling to make an appointment beforehand. And like I say, 312-997-3649. I can schedule appointments for you in either location.
All right, so thank you so much. I'd also like to thank our guest, Tori Harrell. That does it for this edition of Luke's Laboratory on The Beacon.
I started at the Lighthouse when I was still in college at UIC. It was 2012, and I worked here until about 3.5 years, until the middle of 2015. This is a GPS unit. It's a portable GPS receiver. When I was here, I did a lot of one-on-one training, but for this sort of stuff, I mean, I just, you know, do it on the phone and things, but I would walk people through. We'd go out in the community and actually work with it, you know. I never saw myself working in blindness until I worked here, and I started working with Tom Persky, and really, I had used technology and utilized blindness technology for myself. So coming here, I was able to start, you know, learning and working with technology and really fell in love with it. The pieces were in place for the Lighthouse to work with the call center, but some of the accessibility needed to be assessed. And I was able to, you know, go through the standard training curriculum. And when I went through that, I was able, you know, to assess where the needs were and where the various pieces were that needed to be worked on. One result of the tollway project was not only to make that system accessible, but to show that we were opening doors for, you know, the future of blind people and working in and around this area, and you can take that to a national level as well. So we were opening doors here in Chicago with this specific tollway project, but we can then, you know, shift that to opening doors for the totally blind population across the country or around the world. What I really think said so much about the Lighthouse, I was upstairs in the call center and my house burned down, but most of my personal possessions were melted. And I had taken 2 days off, which I didn't ever really take any days off. And I just, you know, I had told my boss and just said, I really need to sift through everything here and try to figure out what's going on. And I came back to work, and there was a pile of money, and there was a coat, and that was my Lighthouse family was there. That was my call center. And I was the only male in that room. And it was such a great environment to be in. There is no way I would be there if it wasn't for the Lighthouse. I'm positive. I'm absolutely positive. Not just when it comes to work or anything like that, but just being able to develop, you know, those professional skills. I mean, the communication, the emails, the everything it takes to really hold a real job. I mean, and when we talk about employment for blind people, it's about getting into the real world and holding that salary position, and it's not easy. And I never would be there. There is no way I would be there if it wasn't for the Lighthouse. I wouldn't consider it to be a stepping stone. I would consider it to be a launch pad. It was a way for me to launch myself forward and upward in anything, you know, that I chose to do.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year. Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
Well, that's it for us. Wow, that was fast.
Yeah, it zipped right by.
Yeah, but a good show, I think. Yeah. Lots of information. And thanks for that update on the ADA laws. And they're trying to weaken that bill, so folks, get involved with that if you believe in keeping it strong. And also, enjoy the Super Bowl. Hopefully, it's something that you can enjoy.
Yeah, hopefully it's not a blowout. Hopefully we have a very competitive game. I think it will be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, enjoy some good food. That's normally what we have for the Super Bowl Sundays, and that's what my family normally conjures up. Either maybe some pizza or some wings. You know, the good old football foods that we're used to.
And we'll have to get to work on getting the day after the Super Bowl as a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll try and keep the ADA where it's at and then add an extra day off for everybody. I'm pretty sure people who aren't football fans, we always are okay with an extra day off.
That's right. All right. Well, let's thank Sandra Murillo for all of her contributions and also Lainey Kleeman. And I also want to thank the person who makes sure that we're up and running every week. And that, of course, would be President and CEO Dr. Janet Slick. I'm Brian Hawkins, along with
Brett Shishkoff.
So all of you take care, stay warm, thanks for listening, and come back next week right here on The Beacon.